You're listening to the Life Church Livonia podcast, a show where you can hear the teachings from our weekend gatherings. You can catch the full service on our Facebook or YouTube, and head over to our website if you'd like to give. Here we're real people following a real God and experiencing real life. Welcome to Life Church Livonia.
Good morning, Life Church Livonia. It is really good to be with you this morning. If this is your first time here, I just want to say welcome. We're really glad you're here. And you are invited into this family of Jesus, this beloved community. And I would encourage you, if you have been watching us for a little while, but haven't taken that next step of giving us your information so that we can get a hold of you when we're doing things as part of this community to include you in it, I would highly encourage you, please fill out our digital bulletin, the contact form on our digital bulletin, so that we can invite you to the things that we are doing so that you can be a part of this community. If you have been with us for a little while now, you know that we've been in this series, A New Way to Be Human. And society has shown us through the past year and a half specifically, that through the unjust racial murders, the racially charged murders that have happened over the past year and a half, the hotly contested 2020 election, the palpable division of COVID-19 around masks and vaccines and mandates, the family and friend conflicts and fallouts that have come as a result of those things. We've just seen loud and clear the American people, and I would argue, in fact, the human race, just does not have the foundation necessary to deal with these demands of reality. I think it's left most of us feeling like, man, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a better way to do conflict, to discern truth, to do life together, to connect across our differences. And the good news is, there's not just a better way. Jesus offers us a new way, a new way to be human. So we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount over the last 9 weeks, and this is week 10, and the last week as we've been looking in the book of Matthew to see what is this new kind of person Jesus is calling us to become. And like I said, this is the last week of the series, and so far we've talked about things like being poor in spirit, realizing we have nothing to offer God spiritually but ourselves, that the Bible is authoritative in the eyes of Jesus, that Jesus has a specific way he asks us to deal with anger and conflict, that he has a high standard for sexual purity and a hate for divorce, that God calls us to handle our promises and justice in certain ways, to handle our enemies with love instead of hate, to have a heavenly mindset that thinks about the things of God instead of get stuck on things that are valuable on earth but we don't get to take with us when our life is over. We've talked about judgment. We've talked about many, 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 many things. And one of the difficult parts as we've been going throughout all this, I think if we're going to be intellectually honest and responsible in any way, we have to recognize that this is a lot and this requires huge changes in my life. So if we're going to be responsible in taking this seriously, we have to ask the question, why should I change? What's the reason I should change into this new way to be human? And those questions, why should I change into this new way to be human and how? Those are the two questions that we're going to look at in our time together today. And I want to start, the answer lies in a small portion of the scripture that we're going to be looking at today together. And that scripture is this in Matthew 6. Jesus is saying to the disciples and to all the people listening, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed holds the secret to the why and to the how of why we should take this new way to be human seriously. Because that word hallowed, it's an old English word. And the reason we keep using it is because it's got such a dense meaning. It means when we hallow something, we make that thing the engine of my soul, the engine of our souls. And it becomes the why behind everything we do. It's the driving force of our life. When we hallow something, it becomes the center thing that pushes us forward into everything. And you and I were made to hallow God. And when we hallow something different than God, that inevitably leaves us lost and broken. And I want to give you an example of somebody who hallowed the wrong thing.
Calling Buzz Lightyear. Come in, Buzz Lightyear. This is Star Command.
Buzz Star Lightyear, Command.
Do you read me?
Buzz Lightyear responding. Read you loud and clear.
Buzz Lightyear, planet Earth needs your help.
On the way.
Buzz Lightyear,
the world's greatest superhero, now the world's greatest toy. Buzz has it all. Lucky wrist communicator.
Calling Buzz Lightyear.
Karate chop action.
What?
Pulsating laser light. Multi-phase voice simulator.
In a secret mission in uncharted space.
And best of all, high pressure space wings!
To infinity and beyond!
Not a flying toy.
Get your Buzz Lightyear action figure and save a galaxy near you!
Buzz Lightyear!
Available at all Al's Toy Mountain outlets in the Tri-County area.
So this is a clip from the 1995 classic, Toy Story 1. I think an instant classic, by the way. I loved this movie growing up, and you may be wondering, Alex, what does Buzz Lightyear have to do with hollowing anything? Well, let me tell you, if you're unfamiliar with the story, one of the major tensions in the story is that Buzz Lightyear, the character we just saw, doesn't think he's a toy. He actually thinks he's a real space ranger, that he belongs to an organization called Star Command, and that he has crash-landed on some foreign planet. And that his real calling, his purpose in life, he has to get back to Star Command in order to save the universe from the evil Emperor Zurg, who wants to destroy everything. And Buzz and Woody, one of the centerpieces of their conflict is that Buzz can't fly, and that's why he's not a space ranger, but actually a toy. And Buzz, this whole movie, has thought of himself as the main character, and Andy and Woody and everybody else as side characters. And Buzz has this driving force for his whole character, is to get back to Star Command, because that's where the real story is taking place. But in this clip, Buzz tests that theory, and he tries to fly like he should be able to. And instead he crashes to the ground because he's just a toy. And the turning point in the movie is when Buzz stops hollowing Star Command and instead starts hollowing Andy, realizing that in fact he's not a space ranger, he is a toy, but he's Andy's toy. And Andy needs him. And then the rest of the movie takes off from there. Now, it's a simple children's movie, but it contains deep spiritual truths. You see, when Buzz hollowed the wrong thing, he ended up lost, broken, and living a false story. And the result was he was neglecting the very reason he was made. He was made as a toy to be played with by Andy. But instead, he's living this fantasy life that leaves him broken and unfulfilled. We hollow many things that are not God. And just like Buzz, those things leave us lost and broken. Some of us have hollowed money. And we've pushed hard, we've sacrificed family nights and our own bodies for the sake of getting high up in our company and getting the position we always dreamed of and earning the money that we longed for, but it just isn't enough. We still go to bed feeling empty. Some of us have hollowed fame and approval. We want to be Instagram famous. We want to be influencers. We want to be YouTube famous. We want to get all the likes in the world. And yet when we get them, all we get is anxiety that we might lose them. Some of us have hollowed sex and romance. And we've longed for sexual expressions or experiences that historically maybe have been disapproved of or that our parents wouldn't be happy with in particular. And we do them and we still go to bed feeling like we're unloved and unknown and empty. Some of us have hollowed self-expression, others' relationships, some our own physical health and bodies. Some of us have hollowed security. Some of us have hollowed being right. Some of us have hollowed self-improvement. But when we hollow anything that's not God, we live a false story, just like Buzz. And we end up lost and broken. And when we hollow God, we end up living into the very reason we were made. So the reason why it's worth it to make the changes, to live into this new way to be human, is because it's the very reason we were made. We were made for this relationship with God where He is at the center of our hollowed place in our own souls, because only He can fully satisfy us. John 10:10 says, "I have come to bring life and life to the full." This new way to be human is not a checklist of moral objectives. It is the normal outcome of a life that hollows God. So if that's why, the next question is how? How do we live into this new way to be human? And my hope here is that through the Lord's Prayer, I can show you a simple habit that when practiced facilitates this transformation from this old person into a new person. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6 today. I really would love for you to open your Bibles, preferably a real one if you've got it, but you can open your phone as well. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today, verses 5 through 16, and I want you to read with me as we read what Jesus has to say here about prayer in particular. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then the prayer ends and Jesus makes this anecdote here at the end. "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." This is intense, and there's a ton here to work through. And so I want to take this scripture in kind of three steps or three phases, because I think if we can begin to understand this and apply this, this has the potential to change us from the inside out. So step one, I want to focus on that first section of the scripture. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues." Synagogues are basically church for the Jewish people. Happened on Saturday and on street corners to be seen by others. "Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, we already talked about this in our podcast, Tell Me More. We have a podcast that comes out every Thursday on YouTube, as well as on our podcast on Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast. And Tell Me More is basically a more in-depth look at different scriptures, either connected to the Sermon on the Weekend or diving deeper into the Sermon on the Weekend. We've been going through chunks of the Sermon on the Mount in Tell Me More. We haven't had time to fully address or dissect here in our Sunday services. So I'd encourage you to check that out. We already talked about this, but I just want to briefly kind of summarize a couple things. So notice here Jesus is saying, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. And he's saying they're hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners. They love to pray publicly. And then Jesus reveals their motivation, to be seen by others. But when you pray, and then he says, they have got what they prayed for. They've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, pray to your Father who's unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, a couple observations I want to make about this, and then I'll sum it up briefly. Why are they hypocrites? They're hypocrites because they pray in public, but not in private. Why don't they pray in private? They pray in private because the prayer isn't really about prayer. And that's why they're hypocritical. It looks like they're super spiritual. And when people hear them pray in their amazing prayers, they go, wow, look at how godly that person is. Can you hear how much they know about who God is? But Jesus is saying, they're not really praying to God. They're praying to get something with God. God is not the end of their prayers. He's the means. And in this case, Jesus points out, he's the means because what they really want is the praise of people. And that's why they don't pray in private. They don't pray in private because when they pray in public, they get what they wanted. They get the praise of people. And it's not God they want. And so Jesus is starting this whole thing off by essentially saying, make God the end, not the means. Don't use God to get other things that we want. God should be what we want. He should be that thing we hollow that drives us instead of using him to get other things. And now we all have made God the means. We've all gone after something else that's not him and tried to use him to get it. Right? This happens when we only pray when we're in trouble. We have no relationship with him until something goes horribly wrong. It happens when we ask God for tons of things, tons of requests made for him, for help for our day, for taking away my anxiety, for strength. But when he makes a request of us, it's offensive almost. Like, doesn't he know? We make God the means instead of the end when his no or his silence to our requests or in our relationship breaks our relationship with him. Right? We've all done these things. And Jesus is trying to set that aright because this is what was happening with Buzz and Andy. Buzz saw himself as the central character and Andy as the side character who's going to help him get back to Star Command. And Buzz went after that so hard it broke him. And the story changed when Buzz realized, actually, this story is about Andy. He's the main character. I'm just a side character in this story. And that Andy's not here to help me get back to Star Command. I'm here to help Andy enjoy his childhood, right? So Jesus is saying God is not the means to our ends. Well, he has to be the end in itself. And then Jesus jumps into how we should pray. And for this second step, I just want to go kind of point by point and show you what the riches that Jesus is communicating here and how if we understand these things, it has the power to deeply transform us. So I'm going to begin here. This is then how you should pray, Our Father. Pause. Already pause. This is the first time in the Bible someone is calling God Dad. A human being is calling the God of the universe, the maker of everything, Dad. That would have been radically alarming to the first century listeners hearing this. Imagine being in a restaurant or something with your dad, and someone you don't know, have never met, walks up to your dad, puts their arm around him, and says, Hey, Dad. You'd be like, Excuse me? Dad, do you have something to explain to me right now? Right? That's the kind of shock that's happening here. And when Jesus says, our Father, he's saying a couple things. One, he's talking about intimacy, that the God of the universe knows me like my dad, like my father. That in the same way, I've come from my dad, and my dad has seen my whole life, and that his very DNA is a part of who I am, and he has seen everything about my life form and who I am come to be. That God the Father sees us in that same way. And not only does he know me, but I know my dad. I love my dad. And that in the same way, there's that intimacy that we have access to with the God of the universe. But Jesus is also offering, that's his intimacy. No one in the first century has that relationship of father and son with God except Jesus. So when Jesus is saying, you can pray like this in my name, he's extending his relationship with God to us. It is the beginning of the gospel, this new way to be human, that Jesus is telling everybody, just in the simple phrase, our Father. But he's not just communicating intimacy, he's communicating authority. In the same way when I was a child, my dad had authority to teach me how to live. That when we say our Father, we're recognizing actually God is the one that has the authority to tell me how to live. Next, Jesus says in heaven. And that both, he's communicated that we have this connectedness to God, but when we say in heaven, we also recognize, God, you're so separate from me. You're actually not me. And though you're my father, you don't see life from my perspective. I am of earth and you are of heaven. And so you see everything from a totally different perspective. And though we are intimately connected, we are separate. And you have a perspective that is not my perspective. Next, Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Again, this is about that God be the engine of my soul, that he be my why for everything. It is rightly placing in that hole in my heart, that place that drives every part of me. The prayer is saying, oh, my Father, God of the universe, who I'm intimately connected to, yet who is so apart from me and has the authority over my life, may you be the thing that drives me. And Jesus says, hallowed be your name, because a name represents a whole person. When you call me Alex, you're not just referencing what my parents call me, you're referencing all of me, my whole life. And so God, hallowed be your name, is saying may who you are, your character, your goodness, your life, your love, everything you are, who you are, be what drives me at my core. Next, Jesus moves on and says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the Buzz and Andy situation that's happening right here. This is recognizing me confessing out of my own mouth. This story is not about me. This is about you. This is about your kingdom come. Your will be done. I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. I want to fix broken things in the world. But God is moving across all human history, all time and space, to radically renew the world, that everything might be made new and that all sin might be eradicated. Everything that separates God and man, everything that is twisted and marred, the original design of original creation, all of that is being made right. And my story is but a small part in that. I received the baton from somebody, and I'm going to have to pass it on in a couple years, right? So when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's a contextualizing of myself, a placing of myself in context to go, this story is not about me, it's about you. And I just ask, Lord, that every part of my life, you would be on the throne. You're the king, I'm the knight. You're the one in charge, I'm the one following. You're Andy, I'm Buzz. And it's this confessing that this is not about me. Next, Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Now, this is the first time in the prayer we're asking for anything. So there's been these three phases of adoration, of worship, of calling God who he is and exalting him in our own hearts. And then from that place, we make a request. And that's so important. This petition just means to make a request, has to come after that adoration and worship, because when we petition God before we adore God, We can live with the false assumption that if God says no to anything, he's going to say no to everything. That if he says no to whatever daily bread I need or think I need, that he's just going to deny us everything. But when we place all of our requests in the context of his character and his story, it allows us to make our requests without being demanding. It allows us to let go and live in peace. Now, two things I want to point out here. The word bread. Bread is simply what we need. It doesn't say, give us this day our daily cappuccino. It doesn't say, give us this day our daily apple pie and ice cream. It says, give us our bread. Right? Bread is just what we need. And it's this request, God, give me everything I need that you see I need today to do your kingdom and your will. And then the other thing is that word daily. That word daily is not weekly, monthly, or yearly. God isn't given this in advance, and it's this illusion, this metaphor, this calling back to when God daily provided bread for the Israelites in the wilderness as they wandered for 40 years. And when we say, God, give me today my daily bread, give us today our daily bread, we're saying that I need to come to you every day, and every day I got to show up at the table and get what I need for today. And it's not just a request, it's a commitment that, Lord, give us today our daily bread, and tomorrow I'm going to show up and ask again, because I need you every day. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, daily. Next, Jesus moves on and says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So petition, what we just did, daily bread, petition reveals how we view the world. But this is confession. The Bible often uses the analogy of debt for sin. A lot of us have debt in credit cards. Most of us have debt in student loans. If our debt got wiped away miraculously by some gracious benefactor, that would change my life. That would radically change my whole situation. And it would be amazing, right? And so Jesus is saying, Lord, this is a time of confession. Forgive us. Lord, forgive us what we have done wrong. As we forgive those who've done wrong to us. So if petition reveals how we view the world, confession reveals how we view ourselves. When I forgo confession, it reveals that I see all of my problems as primarily external, which inevitably leads me to a place where I am a victim of my own life instead of the primary participant in all of its dysfunctions. Confession is so countercultural because it helps us take responsibility for our own life, and it helps us ask forgiveness for the ways in which we have run our life counter to our own design. So confession is incredibly important, and it's a highly under-practiced spiritual discipline. It's how I see myself and how I see the world. Next, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think this is so cool because it is a recognizing. Temptation is the stuff that's inside of me that would lead me to sin. And protecting me from the evil one is recognizing there's an enemy outside of me. So yes, there are forces around me, forces in my life that would seek to ruin me. But I'm also a primary participant in my life. I'm in the driver's seat of my life. And so it's this both and it's this asking God, Lord, protect me from the things inside of me that would lead me away from you, and protect me from the things outside of me that would seek to hurt me. And then Jesus ends with this anecdote that's troubling and concerning. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ooh, troubling, isn't it? It's a troubling thing to end on. Why would Jesus say this? I think it's because he's reemphasizing this point. This story is not about us, which means it's not just for us. It is this radical attack on a consumer mentality of God's redemption. And it is an accountability and powerful call to participating in God's redemption with my life, not just being a consumeristic recipient of it. Because if I were to summarize this, it would be that whatever God gives to me, I am accountable to give to other people. Because this story isn't about me, it's about Him healing and blessing the whole world. I'm not the whole world. And so when He forgives me, when He blesses me, when He heals me, I have an accountability to give what I have been given. What I have received, what is received, must be given. So in summary, the reason we should do the hard work to live into this new way to be human is because this is the reason why we were made. We were made to hollow God and to be transformed into this kind of person. And the pathway to doing this is not clicking off a checklist. It's this daily prayer of, Lord, I'm worshiping you and receiving this intimacy I have with you. I'm recognizing you're apart from me, yet connected to me. I'm asking that I remove all other things from the throne of my heart, from that hallowed place, and I put you there. God, I'm reminding myself and praying that your kingdom would come and your will would be done, that this isn't about me. And then I'm asking for what I need for that day. And Lord, I'm promising to come tomorrow to get tomorrow's bread. I'm confessing what I've done wrong. I'm forgiving those who have hurt me, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. And then finally, I'm asking for protection. My challenge to you is just to pray this prayer daily, slowly, thinking through each part and what it means, worshiping God, making your requests, and setting your heart on His kingdom, putting Him in that hallowed place. And maybe you're listening today and you're not a follower of Jesus. You long for that fulfillment that I'm talking about, but you're not sold, maybe, or skeptical on if Jesus is the way. And my encouragement is to you is just try. Just try. Just see. Give Jesus an opportunity to transform your life and to bring life and life to the full. I want you to pray with me right now. Oh, my Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Be the engine that drives my soul. Life, Lord, is about your kingdom, and I pray that it would come to earth. It's about your will, and I pray that it would be done here as in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for our needs, Lord, and help us to show up at the table day after day. Lord, forgive us our debts, and for as we forgive our debtors. God, help us to forgive those who have hurt us. And we just confess, Lord, that we have sinned, and we ask for your mercy and forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protect us from the things inside and outside of us that would seek to lead us away from you. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If God just moved in your heart, if you prayed with me and you want to start this new way to be human, this way of Jesus, following Jesus in this love relationship, I want you to click on our digital bulletin link, and I want you to fill out the connection card so that we can help you take your next steps. God bless.